Well, thanks for being here today. Excited to see what else God has in store. Thank you, John and Praise Team, for leading us. It's been a very significant week in the life of our church family. A week ago Saturday, as was mentioned earlier in the service, 36 students and adults traveled to New Orleans to do mission work. And the stories that continue to come out are absolutely amazing about what God did and how He worked. Last Sunday night was the Little Kids Dinner 88. Great things happened around the tables, preschoolers and their families last Sunday night. And then Monday to Wednesday of this week, the big kids were at camp. 89 children from our church family, along with about 10 adults. So in total, with the three groups, 25% of our church family, consistent average attendance, were involved in those areas last week. That's very significant. 2 weeks ago began the Easter in July series with J-Lock walking through the crucifixion of Jesus and what that was, what that meant. Last week, we talked about what took place just following that, the burial of Jesus. Today, we are focused on the crucifixion. Next week, we will wrap up our time in John chapter 20. It has been a really, really great reminder of who our King is outside of the Easter season and all that He's done for us. During each of those messages, different challenges were given. One, J-Lock 2 weeks ago, really a heavy emphasis on surrendering your life to Jesus if you had not yet done that. Last week, the focus and emphasis was on sharing our testimonies, sharing the gospel with those around us. Oftentimes, on Sunday mornings, when we walk through messages like that, we have very little, if any, opportunity to share about what God did in our lives in the previous week. Possibly you were on a trip, possibly you were here, and God did some amazing things. But I would like to start the service a little differently today by giving you about a minute each, sitting next to someone you can pick who you'd like to share with, one specific thing God did in your life or one way He worked in your life in the last week. So person to person, it can be husband, wife, it can be father, son, mother, daughter, however you want to mix it up. The only thing that you're not allowed to do, if you're a blue shirt to a blue shirt, you can't do it. So you're going to have to get up and move. If you're an orange shirt to an orange shirt, which was kids camp, blue shirt meaning student trip, orange shirt meaning kids camp. If you have an orange shirt on, a blue shirt on, you're welcome to stay where you are. But if you're one of those, your responsibility is to move somebody who doesn't have one of those shirts on. Once again, I'm going to give you about a minute, then I'm going to call switch. I'll give you another minute, and I want you to share specifically one thing God did in your life or He saw you do in the life of someone else in the past week. On your mark, set, go. Blue shirts with student mission trip, better move. Orange shirts, if you're by each other, better move. You got 1 minute. All right, if you have not already done so, switch. Next person to start to share. All right, you can start to wrap it up. Although I'm sure for some it's probably difficult to do that because you're just filled up today with what God did in the past week. Thank you for taking the time to do that and share. Normally, when I have opportunities to present a message, to share a message with you, I focus on what's taking place, what God's doing in my life. Instead of doing that today related to sharing with others, I would like to focus on the other four Rays who live at 15728 Barclay Street this morning and share stories about what God did in their lives with you. The first, Ethan, involved in Big Kids Camp, Youth Front this week. Really a wonderful week for him. Camp is always very special, wonderful time of God engaging my kids, and I've enjoyed that, seeing that throughout the years when I was a student pastor for a long time, and now even here with students, families we got to be involved with, and now our own kids. But Ethan, Monday night, it was about 12:15 or so, and we're saying goodnight. I always pray with the kids before they go to sleep. And Ethan, this was one of those nights after we were done when he said, "Hey, Dad, yeah, hey, can we talk a little bit more?" I was like, oh, man, I am so tired after a full day at kids camp and then softball, played three games Monday night, and then more kids camp was just wiped out. And I said, okay, bud, you got 30 seconds. That's a bad dad. I do that a lot with them if it's like that and it's late. But he said, okay. I said, what's it about? And he said, it's about the worship and the Bible study. And I said, okay, let's hear it. And so Ethan said, well, Dad, I felt something tonight during worship. And I said, oh, yeah, what? And he said, well, when the worship was happening, I just really, really felt God moving. And the Bible study, sometimes I'm kind of half in, half out. But I was fully in, and God was really speaking to me. And I said, so the Holy Spirit was moving in your life in great and amazing ways. He said, yeah. And I said, well, tomorrow's going to be more of that. And I said, okay, let's talk some more. As tired as I was, let's talk some more because I want to hear more. Those are golden opportunities for parents. I loved listening to Ethan share that. That's number one. Number two, Tieran got back Friday from mission trip in New Orleans. Yesterday, we had an opportunity to debrief. And I said, okay, what were your three or four spiritual highlights? One she shared was a week ago today. They went to Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, which was a fantastic experience. She talked about the worship, talked about the pastor who gave the message, and she said, Dad, it was the craziest thing. And I said, what? She said, the pastor broke out in song right in the middle of it. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, it was awesome. The Spirit of God was moving, and we could see things, and people responding, and it was really unbelievable. And I said, well, that's nothing, because Derek, who's been on vacation, actually has been practicing songs. And so next Sunday, he's coming back. Midstream message, he's breaking out with something. I don't know what he's going to have for us. But I said, wait till you hear Derek sing. So when you see him next week, make sure you tell him you're expecting it. He'll appreciate that a whole lot from me. But she said it was an unbelievable week of God moving and working. Prayer walks were terrific for her too, super good. So that's Tieran. Okay, Tiffany Braden, Monday, while Ethan and I were at kids camp, Tieran was on mission in New Orleans. Here come the crew working on our yard, burying cable. How many of you have had buried cables in your yard? Okay, so you know what we're talking about. There are different teams that have to come through and do that. And so Tiffany and Braden, while they were inside, Tiffany felt moved by the Spirit to put together little snack packs for those guys. Thought that would be a great ministry. Hands and feet of Jesus to those guys out there. Not unusual for a family to do that, but unusual for Braden because I don't know that he's ever had that shot before. Of course, two-year-old, he's not going to remember. We do. So Tiffany put those snack packs together, water bottles together, walked outside, and there were the four guys in our yard digging up the yard. Hey, I just wanted to let you guys know, I did these, made these for you, just wanted to tell you, you know, today that thanks for what you're doing. So went back inside. About 10, 15 minutes later, knock on the door, boom, 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 boom. Crew chief, Tiffany goes to the door. Hey, how are you doing today? And he said, well, I'm fine, I'm so-and-so, and I'm the crew chief. And I just wanted to let you know that no one has ever done that for us before. Typically, when we walk up to neighbors' yards, okay, and he didn't say this, but believers and non-believers, because they go into everybody's yard, and we get yelled at, people are frustrated, they're disgusted, and they hate that we're there. But you today did something for us that was special. Thank you for doing that. Tiffany's obedience to the Holy Spirit, responding in a way that he had called her, made a difference in those guys' lives. Now, did Tiffany share the gospel story with the crew chief or the guys? No, she didn't. Was she the hands and feet of Jesus to those guys? Absolutely. Obviously, it made a difference in their lives, Tieran and Ethan, in the places they were as well. It is exciting as a husband and a dad, to hear those stories about what's happening, God working in the lives of your family members. What about yours this week? Have you taken times outside of this morning to share, to listen, to hear? God is alive. He is at work. And a byproduct of that work should be our sharing about it with others. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. Sitting next to each other this morning and sharing about what God did in your life this week was you sharing your very life with the person next to you, whether it was a child, whether it was a spouse, whether it was a friend, whether it was someone you didn't know. That is what we are called to do, to share our very lives with one another and to be excited and encouraged because of what God is doing. If you're a fan of fish and cartoons about fish, undoubtedly you know the title of the movie Finding Nemo. It came out years ago. I'm not even sure what year it was. The byproduct, the sequel to that, Finding Dory, just came out. What a great movie. I've not seen it. Tiff has seen it. I have not, but she said it was terrific. Well, when we first moved into our home in 2008, the kids wanted to get a pet. And so what's the easiest pet for the Rays to get? I thought, let's get a fish. Right, not much mess. All you have to do is put some food in there. You're gold. So we brought a little tank, rocks, and some plants home, put water in it, popped the goldfish in there, thought we were good to go. His name was Shy. We thought, okay, we're all set. Well, about 2 days later, walked down to the kitchen and, well, look who's floating on the top. Old Shy. Naturally, I thought he was just taking a nap, but the kids told me, Dad, Shy's dead. Oh, well, okay, what do we do here? So we did what any good family would do, and we picked Shy out of that bucket and flushed him down the toilet. Had a little service right there at the urinal, and there he went. And it was a very sad and emotional time for the kids, and one that we talked about. Of course, today, we don't focus on a fish that died and got flushed. We focus on the crucified, buried, resurrected Jesus who gives us life. Poor comparison between the two? Yes. Great comparison for us to remember that one day, whether he comes back for us or if we die, we will leave this planet. Yes, every person in the room. Are we ready? Okay, John chapter 20. Here we go. It's already been read, so we're going to walk our way through the passage like we did last week, starting with verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, also Mary of Magdala, first day of the week, by the way, Sunday, came to the tomb early. So it was early in the morning, it was still dark out, she went to the tomb, she wanted to see what the state, condition of the tomb was, of Jesus, etc. Well, it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So you've heard stories about, if you've been in church for any length of time, the stone in previous times is very large, could not be moved by one individual, would take several to move that. The stone had been rolled away. Verse 2, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. We've already identified that individual last week as John, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So Mary of Magdalene panicked, went up, saw the stone rolled away, did exactly what she thought she needed to do. She ran to those guys and said, listen, Jesus has been taken. Verse 3, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So apparently, whether they were in a foot race or not, obviously Peter was slower. And stopping to look in, John saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. So here's John running up to the scene, seeing the empty tomb, and instead of actually entering it and seeing what was in there, the 75 pounds of myrrh, oil, etc., with the cloth wrapped in, instead of walking in, identifying it for himself, investigating it, he decided he would stay out. He didn't want to disrupt. For whatever reason, he didn't want to disrupt the tomb. And so he stayed on the outside and he looked. Then here comes Simon Peter. Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. Obviously, there's Peter. I'm going in there. I'm seeing what's going on. I very much identify personally with Peter. He wanted to see what's happening. He saw the linen cloths lying there. He went right in there. He didn't care about protocol. He wasn't concerned about disrupting the environment. He wanted to see it for himself. So he saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. Okay, Peter's gone in. He's disrupted what he's needed to disrupt. It's okay for me at this point to go ahead and enter, so I'm going to go right in. And he saw and believed. So at this point, Peter and John, radically different thought processes. Peter, still bewildered. Where's the body? Here this is. It's a tomb where Jesus is not. John, processing. It said he saw and believed, processing the words of Jesus previously about the death, crucifixion, resurrection, internally processing that, trying to determine, trying to figure out, okay, this is what he was talking about. This is the truth. He has risen. It's day three. He's risen. But he's keeping that to himself, not conveying it, not communicating it, internalizing it. Verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So Mary Magdalene, Peter, still not getting the picture, still not seeing it, John not speaking of it. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So they've just come upon this scene, life-altering, life-changing, no Jesus. They sprint back to their home. Verse 11, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, obviously broken. And she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. So here's Mary, not realizing, recognizing that Jesus had risen. She was wondering where the body was, struggling. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. Typically, when we think of angels, we think of some of the New Testament Revelation verses that talk about angels that will go to war. We think about Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6. About pictures of angels. We think about other occasions, but in the New Testament, primarily the Gospels, including when Mary, Holy Spirit conceived, we talked about that some last week, when the angel appeared, they come in a form of a man. So typically, we think of an angel with a halo and with wings. In this occasion, apparently, they were not that. They were in white, but they were in the tomb, not frightening Mary because of their appearance. They said to her, woman, in verse 13, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. So she's still in that place. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. So obviously, because she was so distraught, she didn't recognize him. He also hadn't revealed himself to her yet. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, and this is the turning point, Mary. She turned to him and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. The moment of realization that standing in front of her was the risen Jesus. Wow. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had seen these things happen to her. It's a fun progression. If you think back to John 15:15, when Jesus was talking through the disciples, he told them, you are no longer considered to be servants. You are my friends. Remember that? And then past that, in this moment, he no longer just calls them friends. He calls them brothers. And so Mary, going back to those guys, is sharing with them, expressing to them, here is what Jesus said. She was obedient. She went back. She announced to them, I have seen the Lord. And that he had said those things to her. So what kind of scene does that paint? These guys running back, being in their home. Here comes Mary. Guess what? What excitement must have filled that room in that moment? And as we'll see later, disbelief to a degree. What is she talking about? A life-altering, life-changing moment for her. She, at that time, was given a new responsibility to share of the risen Jesus with everyone, starting with the disciples. She saw angels. She was the first to be with the risen Jesus, to share that he was alive, and to be the first to share that good news with people. What an honor. What a position to have. What an opportunity. More than she ever could have imagined. We too, if we have surrendered our lives to Jesus, have been given more than we could have ever asked for or imagined, simply in our relationship with him. If you have done that, you have not only received life eternal to be experienced once we see him on that glorious day, but you have received life now. I have received life now. Romans 11 tells us that we are grafted into the vine. We are his. And we are able to share that and testify to the others of the risen Jesus, which is what happened in the past week for many of you. We have 3 points. Here's the first one. Ready? Bulletins, here we go, and pens if you're a note taker. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus secures our redemption. We have been freed from sin. John 8, 31 to 38 is worth reading in this moment because it directly relates to freedom and life. Here we go, 8, 31 to 38. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." The picture of not only the lost, but also at times of believers, is that if we come into a relationship with Jesus, we're going to have to give up so much. Life and the fun that it's supposed to be will be gone. And instead of seeing Jesus as one that frees us, oftentimes we can think that he's binding us. Shackles, hands, feet, chains, unable to walk, unable to move, enslaved. But according to what Jesus said there, freedom in Christ, a relationship with him, surrendering our lives, doesn't bind us like that. It frees us. Where we can live the way he's called us to live, in joy, in peace, in challenge, in struggle. Not as bound, not as slaves, but as brothers and sisters, friends, as followers. The opposite is actually true. For those who think that Jesus binds, he doesn't. Sin does. And oftentimes we don't even see it in our own lives. We get so entrenched, so entangled in the sin of our lives that we think will bring us joy, comfort. But before we know it, we're bound worse than shackles. Full body straitjackets. And then we're stuck and we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We live in guilt. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it's a great remedy for that. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that is what you are this morning, a great cloud of witnesses in this room, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us consider those who have come before us and live our lives as God has called us to, not as slaves of sin. We're supposed to throw that off. But as those who have been truly freed. How long has it been since you've experienced that freedom? Number two, the resurrection of Jesus resolves our confusion. Jesus is risen. We have life. The world is lost and has no clue. And are confused and are wondering, what's next? Is there more to this than what I'm in, what I'm experiencing? As followers of Jesus, we're supposed to have the answer. We're supposed to be living differently, remembering that God is not dead, he is alive. He is alive in us. And that with that, we have a life-changing message we can share. Other religions cannot claim the same. No other religion can say, our God died and rose again. None. Jesus is the only one. We are not confused, but we do need to be on mission individually and together. Number three, the resurrection of Jesus drives our mission. We need to tell his story. We need to tell ours. It is the stamp of all stamps. After you have shared with someone, as the Holy Spirit prompts and works and moves, we spend time with him, people can still refute. They can still say, you know what? What you're saying is baloney. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I know the Bible says that. I know what you're saying. I'm just not buying it. So what do you say when that happens? Here's what you say. I know it's true because he changed my life. He changed my life. Period. End of story. I'm sorry you don't understand it. I'm sorry you're not in a position where you can get it, but I am telling you right now, he changed my life. And he can change yours. How has he changed your life? How has he changed mine? How is he changing us? Where are you today? In shackles? Walking in freedom? On mission? Or on life for yourself?